Hey everybody, this is Albert Escobedo, your host for the Pet Peeves podcast. Just asking if you like my podcast, if you're enjoying the content and what you're listening to, become a sponsor. Find the link on the Anchor, the sponsor link on my Anchor website, and or on the SoundCloud website. Wherever you find the descriptions for these episodes, you can find the link to become a sponsor. For $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, help the podcast grow. Thank you guys very much. Thank you for listening. Bye. Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome back to the Pet Peeves Podcast. This is episode 43, I believe. 43, we have a repeat guest. One of my favorite people in the world, one of my oldest friends in the LA comedy scene, one of my treasured Goon Squad member friends. Everybody, give it up for Roger Lopez. Roger, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me back, man.
Yeah, welcome back, man. It's been a while. You were on episode like 30 or something like that.
Oh, it feels good to be on a good numbered episode or something.
Hell yeah, man. I
had a great time when I was here. I got to meet all your beautiful pets.
Yeah, man, for sure. The bearded dragon got way bigger, right?
Oh, my God. Your bearded dragon is so big.
He's a giant, man. He is so big. And I love him. I love how big he got. And people tell me like that he's a big male. And I was like, hell yeah, he's a big male. Even though I had no like conception bearded dragons before, like what's big, what's small, I always wanted a big one though. You know, if you're gonna have like a lizard, you want him to have a big guy. He's cool.
I remember when you were doing a lot of your research for your bearded dragon, and to see what it really means, in my opinion, is that you're a great caretaker.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, like, another person could have the same bearded dragon, but if they don't take as good of care of it as you did, it will not reach its full potential growth. And what you did is, like, you're like a scientist.
We figured it out.
You're a loving scientist. You're like the scientist from the Captain America movie.
The guy who developed the serum?
Oh, shit. Was that Tony Stark's dad?
It is Tony Stark's dad. Howard Stark. No, because it was that other doctor with the crazy, he looked like a mad scientist. And I even know the actor's name, but I can't think of it. But it wasn't Howard Stark. It was a different dude.
Instead of a mad scientist, you're a loving scientist. And you did exactly what he did to Captain America, but with your bearded dragon.
Yes, I experimented. I researched. I tried this. I tried that. And now he's a super lizard. And it is because we spoil him. We spoil him because I want him to be the best. I want him to be healthy. I want to do it right. And, when you find something that works for your pet, you can see them happy. You can see them, you know, being alert and bright. And you can just tell the difference. Like, oh, that's a happy animal compared to an animal that's all depressed and lethargic. And it doesn't even matter if they're fat or skinny. Honestly, they should just be healthy, right? Like, that's... Yeah. Some animals can be fatter, some animals can be skinnier. Like my bearded dragon, he's got a little panza on him, he's got a little belly, but that's normal, right? He's a male, he's got to have some girth. Like if you see the ones on the YouTube videos, some of them are like super fat. And he's not super fat, he's just thick with two C's, but I'm mad proud of him.
I always think it's moderation, you know? You don't want a bearded dragon that's frail, skinny, barely moves around, has a cigarette in its mouth that's lit every 24/7.
I don't know.
No, you want to have like a... And then again, like how you said, you don't want him to be thick with five C's. No. Like how you see on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So in the moderation...
The balance.
The balance is...
Yeah, the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
And you know what it is that he eats a combination of vegetables and live bugs, right? He eats crickets or worms, different kinds of worms, mealworms, superworms, hornworms, and then I give him crickets.
Wow, I actually eat kind of along the same lines, but I don't eat crickets and they're not live, but I do eat oven cooked grasshoppers, like a certain species of grasshoppers, yeah.
Buy it straight up, or you like dip them in chocolate or hot sauce or something?
No. Just straight up. Just
shut the fuck up, for real.
From the oven. Oh my God, they're so delicious.
Where do you get them from?
It's a specialty food in Oaxaca, most southern states in Mexico.
No, when I was in school, my university, Purdue University, shout out Boilermakers, they have a big agricultural school. That's where I went to vet tech school. So it's all about animals and nature, wildlife. Both my brothers have agriculture degrees. So we're all about nature and animals, wildlife. And they had a bug bowl every year, bug bowl. And one of the highlights of the bug bowl were the chocolate-covered crickets. And it was just like, you if you went, you had to try them. It's like rite of passage. You have to try them. And I tried them every year. Every year I ate them. And they just taste like Rice Krispies covered in chocolate.
It has that like crunch to it.
Just crunchy and chocolatey, but every once in a while you'd feel like the leg in your mouth or like something that's definitely a bug's body part. And it was kind of gross. It's not good. I wouldn't do it as a regular thing.
I don't know. I've grown to love it.
A little delicacy.
It's a big delicacy, actually. Like, it's if it's something that, like, it's, to me, it's something that I've been eating since I was, like, a child.
No shit.
So I've just grown up eating cooked grasshoppers.
And I know that it is, like, common in a lot of cultures, not just Oaxaca.
Well, being half Oaxacan, I definitely I definitely know of that because of, you know, my heritage of being in that.
No, I think it's a subsection. It's a great source of protein, and all the protein. the peoples, all the cultures that eat the bugs, like it's a sustainable source of protein that doesn't take up a lot of space. You got to think of all our other protein sources: cows, chickens, pigs. How much space it takes to house those animals and feed those animals. Bugs take up very little space, and they're very easy to reproduce, and nobody's like worried about bugs' lives. There's no PETA for insects.
No, there is not.
So I think it's a great option. And in my class, I teach my students about cultures that eat different animals, because one of the topics that comes up all the time in my class and in this podcast is it okay to eat animals? And honestly, it is, but since we have the option of eating bugs or eating soy or eating other protein products, we should eat less animals that, you know, take up space and need more care, you know, like a dog or a cat or a horse or a pig or a cow. Like, those animals need more than a place to sleep, eat, and shit. They need like attention. They need like a family unit. They need community. And when you put them all in a pen like that, it's not natural. They're definitely not happy.
Not sanitary for ourselves. That's really
very like, true.
Like, I would love to reduce the amount of processed meat that we eat.
Absolutely.
In the forms of like how you just said, in the forms of like these big huge captivity sites. Instead of that, how about we just have less of those captivity sites, more free range spots where they have a community. Yeah. And that will be due to the fact that as a whole society, we move away from eating so much.
That's all we need to do. When I lived in Korea, this comes up all the time in the podcast. When I lived in Korea, they didn't eat so much meat in a daily meal. Like, meat was like a dinner thing or like a, you know, special occasion thing where you just eat a bunch of meat. And most meals, it was mostly vegetables. It'd be mostly vegetables and like a side of meat, or maybe meat was in the dish, right? But not the main part of the dish. It's just weird that Americans, we have this beef, like meat and potatoes mentality, but meat and potatoes, there's no vegetables in that equation, right? There's no, and people are like, oh, corn, and that's all sugar. And it's like, okay, what are we really eating here as a people? We have just like these shit ideas of what a diet should be. And a lot of it revolves around us eating a lot of red meat that we don't need to eat and not eating vegetables that we should eat. We should be eating like way, way more vegetables. And that would just automatically save a bunch of animals from torture and torment and a life of shit and agony if just people ate less, not cut meat out, just eat less meat.
And for those that are a little bit extra selfish, think about yourself and your own body, because eating copious amounts of meat is terrible for your body.
Talk about colon cancer.
Colon cancer, heart disease, heart clogs. Our veins just don't work more when we eat too much fatty foods that are commonly found in like bacon.
Yeah, bacon, deli meats, or like low quality meat that you're going to get fast food restaurants.
Oh, that's not even meat no more, which is the crazy part. Because like McDonald's, let's say how you were saying meat and potatoes, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, a double double and fries is meat and potatoes.
Yeah, a little bit of bread.
And potatoes should not last a whole year and look the same.
Yeah, those videos of the year old McDonald's or whatever, and it looks identical. It's just like a crystallized, like a fossil.
It's like what those people that they go into like cryo freezing once they pass. It's like what they would want to look like.
Yeah,
like the McDonald's sandwiches that can withstand a whole year and look pristine after a whole year.
Yeah, that is cryogenically frozen, like accomplished. Like whatever they've put in that, just put in people and they'll live forever. They can exchange that for plastic surgery.
The only thing is just that
rub some in and out in your face.
Hidden on some McDonald's Big Mac sauce dressing.
Exactly.
But the thing is, like, when it gets reheated, that's not the same at all. Oh, it just has that same appearance, but it's not, like, the same product that went in.
Have you ever tried eating, like, reheated McDonald's?
Yeah. I remember once when I was, like, let's say 16, my parents left me alone for, like, a weekend. They went to Vegas.
Yeah.
I bought, like, back when the days when McChickens were a dollar each, I had $20 they left me. Guess what? I bought 16
McChickens. As many as you could?
Yeah, I bought 16 McChickens. I bought like a bag of munchies, let's say, like a $3 bag of munchies.
Yeah.
And that was a bad decision on my part because after the third McChicken and when I reheated up the next ones, they just didn't have the same taste as a previous.
It's fresh edible. McChicken. You'll eat it if you're hungry, but it's not good.
It's not the same at all.
No, like it's microwavable to an extent. Like you can microwave it and it's edible for like 30 seconds to a minute, and then it starts to get hard.
Yeah.
And then it starts to get nasty. And then I learned about like animal processing in the meats, right? Meat starts rotting as soon as it's dead. As soon as it's dead, it starts rotting. So by the time you have the McChicken in your hand, think about how rotten it already is. Even if it's refrigerated, even if it's frozen, all that does is slow down the rotting process, but it's still rotting. So when it's sitting in the refrigerator, not frozen, you're literally like eating pretty rotten meat by the time you get around to microwaving it and eating it. But when you microwave it, you just kill all the bacteria. So you can eat it, and it's probably not going to get you sick, but it's not good for you. It's definitely not worth it.
And also to the fact of microwaving food, it's also not very good to microwave food in general because as opposed to when you can cook it, like not to cook it like fresh, but if you have a comal, you know, where they make tortillas and shit like that, like a skillet,
fresh handmade stuff.
Yeah, you can like...
As
opposed to microwaving it, you can just like instead of heat it up again, but in the pan using real fire.
Oh, yeah.
So like, let's say a pizza slice, like...
Yeah,
you could put it in the microwave, but if something weird happens in the microwave when you put old pizza in there.
No, I used to put it straight into the oven or like on a pan.
The oven is also another good idea too.
Yeah.
As opposed to like...
It's definitely better. It tastes better. It tastes more natural. The microwave makes it kind of taste like artificial or something.
And imagine like how you were saying, like when we microwave something that's like a McDonald's burger, like we're getting it like once already removed from the, it's already been degrading for like a whole month, let's say. I don't know how long McDonald's has it for. And then once we don't eat it for like, let's say a day, and then when we reheat it up, like you were talking about bacteria and shit like that. Like imagine, so a microwave basically excites the water molecules inside the food. But like, have you ever seen the water molecules just stay inside the microwave?
Like afterwards, it's still wet in there?
It's still wet in there, but not even afterwards. Like literally during the microwaving process, like a burger. Let's say, because like there's supposedly like you're supposed to put a plastic lid on top of the things you microwave.
Right.
And that contains like toxic radiation.
Yeah, we have the little microwave plastic cover that goes over everything in the microwave.
And then that plastic, imagine like the McDonald's bacteria is just heating up like the sweat and odor in that plastic. And it's just like...
It's like
and
a,
this is pertaining
a
to
bacteria sauna. It's just nasty. Bacteria fog.
A bacteria sauna is
I can picture it. But I mean, like you got to think like it excites the water molecules. And even like sometimes, you know, you'll take it out of there and there's steam. And then, so there's water, right? Yeah. There is water. But you got to think if you turn the microwave on long enough, eventually there wouldn't be any, like just scientifically. Because as the water molecules excite, they evaporate. But they don't go nowhere. They have to stay in there, right? The matter doesn't disappear. It just stays contained, but where does it go eventually? Eventually, it would have to return into water, right? It would turn into condensation and then precipitation and then water again, no?
I don't know, because I found out the hard way that when you put frijoles inside the microwave to heat up again,
yeah,
they heat up because it has like apparently it has a lot of water molecules still inside frijoles, right?
Yeah. So when you soak them forever, they soak up all that water.
Oh, that's true. That's right. So I found out the hard way. I was like, yeah, a minute and a half for my whole bowl of frijoles should be enough, bro. I went back to the microwave and
it was crusty.
Oh my god, it was inedible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like eating dirt.
I didn't even try it.
A minute and a half is a long time.
This thing is, you know, the microwave I grew up with is not the most powerful
It's lacking some kilovolts or whatever the hell.
If it started off with 150 like volts, it's down to 75. So I'm like, if I needed something before for 45 seconds, now it needs to
double it.
But then that was not the case for frijoles, because frijoles will just heat up very insanely quick, and then
it's mostly water.
Yeah, right? At least like 20-30 seconds.
Yeah, you need like 30 seconds,
and it's hot as fuck.
And the bowl is hot. Everything's
steaming. It's steaming. I did the same thing with chorizo.
You're making me hungry.
I put some fucking chorizo inside the microwave for a minute and 30, and when I was like, bro, I just fucking wasted all this chorizo because it's harder.
Crisp.
Not even crisp. If it was crisp, I'd fucking still put it on my clayuda. You know, that shit was motherfucking hard like rock.
Damn. That sucks. Yeah, wasted chorizo.
100% waste. And I put a big bowl in there.
Sucks.
Let's say it was a regular bowl, but I filled it.
That sucks. I feel sorry for you.
Oh my
god. Chorizo is my favorite.
Oh my god.
Chorizo is my favorite. Like, I love the way it smells, tastes. I put it on everything. I love it. So just like when I'm preparing the chorizo and I can smell it, my mouth is watering and I'm so excited no matter what. And I hate when I go somewhere and their chorizo isn't good. It's like, come on. Like, it's hard to make, I guess. You know, you grow up with chorizo and you think it's like because your mom knows where to get the good stuff. My grandpa used to make it. My grandpa used to make chorizo and it was just the bomb chorizo in the world. The best chorizo in the world. So fucking good. And then as he got older, he couldn't make it anymore. But my whole childhood, I had this bomb chorizo available and I didn't appreciate it. Because then you go to the grocery store and it's like mud. It's like in the tubes at the grocery store.
Yeah.
It's like all liquidy and all fatty and fucking oily, greasy.
A lot more preservatives on it.
Yeah, dude, it's nasty. You have to go to like a carniceria. You got to go to like a butcher shop to get chorizo around here.
You got
to
go to a spot where you like, as soon as you open the door, like three flies fly out.
Yeah, for real. Where's that place? So help me out. Where do you guys get your chorizo?
Being completely honest, I can't tell you because I don't know exactly where, but I can tell you like a region where they might have some good chorizo. So like there's parts of South Central that have like markets outside, like little puestos, let's say.
Okay.
And then of course, like surrounded by there, like the markets and shit like that. And then, a quick example would be like a Northgate Market.
That's right by where I work.
Yeah, those are going to have better chorizo quality than let's say Ralph's.
Yeah, for sure. I won't do that mistake anymore. But I did assume, you know, like there's a North Central Market right over here. It's just like a Mexican grocery store. I'm pretty sure it's called North, right? That one?
Northgate? Yeah, Northgate Market. Or
maybe something like that.
I forget. It's been a while.
But there's one not far from here. It's right over here on Prairie. And it's a Mexican market. And you go in there and they make their own chorizo. And I assumed it would be good. So I bought it and it was awful, like big chunks of fat, big chunks of like tendon and all that, where it's like you can't chew it. It was really bad. But then there's a place over here called Guadalajara Carniceria, and they do a great job. But there's nowhere to fucking park. There's always a long ass line, and it's always like fucking hard. It's just hard to find somewhere to park, hard to fucking get in and out of there easily. Like once you're there, you're stuck in line. And
God just works like that, man. Yeah. He's like, hey, if you really want it,
you got to work for it.
You got to work for it.
Yeah, you have to park like two blocks down. Because if you try to park, then you might get blocked in because the parking lot is just tiny.
Yeah.
And people are waiting. So if you find a parking spot, sometimes that's even worse. Because then there's like six cars with people's asses out in the middle of the road.
Bro, yeah.
Trying to find a spot to park and now you're stuck again. So it's like, man, I fucking hate going there, but they're the only... So you got to buy like 6 pounds of chorizo and freeze like half of it. That's what you got to do.
Nah, the thing about that though too is like, it's not going to be as fresh.
No, it's not. It's not the same. But that first log, that first chorizo and eggs, when you buy your fresh chorizo, it's the best in the world.
Delicious. Absolutely motherfucking delicious.
All the people out there, if you don't know what chorizo is, it's Mexican sausage. It's Mexican spicy sausage. It's pork usually, but you can get beef chorizo. And it's just fire. And actually, soy chorizo. Have you ever tried soy chorizo?
I was just going to bring that up as well. Shit. Soy chorizo from Trader Joe's is phenomenal.
Dude, I've had some really good soy chorizo. It's fucking good. Soy chorizo.
Yeah.
Yeah, in California, I never even heard of it or saw it in Indiana or ever. But when I moved to California, it's pretty popular. Mm-hmm. And one time I got it at a restaurant. It was an all vegan restaurant, and they had soy chorizo burritos, and it was the only thing that sounded appetizing to me on the menu. And it was bomb. It was fire. So then I bought it at the grocery store, and it was good. And then Diana tried it, and she liked it too, my wife. So it's like, fuck yeah.
It's a great alternative to not eating actually, you know, pig and stuff like that.
I mean, I ate a lot of soy in Korea. In those 4-5 years I was in Korea, I ate a ton of soy. And before that, I had never eaten soy. Before I moved to Asia, never, because I didn't think I would like it. But as soon as I moved to Korea, they know how to cook it right. The Asians know how to fucking hook up some tofu.
Yeah, that's what it is, tofu. Because at the local farmer's market by where I grew up, there was like this lady, and she was like, "Hey, would you like to try some of my tofu?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then she was like, "Yeah, it's made out of soy or something like that." And then it was great. It was delicious.
Dude, it's so good. I'll tell a story.
Although I'm sure it's not good as actually, you know, being in Korea and trying to, that's next level.
Well, like you could order
4 levels above.
Like you could order like tofu. Do you like Thai food? Like pho or not pho, pad Thai?
Yeah.
Pad Thai. You can get tofu pad Thai, and they do a pretty good job around here. And you could get like different kind of tofu soups at different Chinese restaurants, Japanese restaurants, Korean restaurants. And they do a pretty good job around here. There's enough Asians in LA that you could find good shit. But when I was in Korea, the first exposure I got to it, I went to this little restaurant in the middle of nowhere. I was brand new there. I didn't know how to speak any Korean yet. I didn't know anybody. I hadn't done any stand-up there yet. It was probably in the first month that I was there. And they took me out to the middle of nowhere to eat tofu. They said, this is the most famous tofu restaurant. These people are like Korea famous or whatever. The whole country knows about this place to go get this tofu. And we drove for probably like over an hour. And we were already in the middle of nowhere. We were already in the middle of the country, like of South Korea. We were in the middle of the mountains, nothing around already. So then we drove for an hour and a half to more nothingness.
Yeah.
And in the middle of this nothingness, like it's dark by the time we get there. There's just like a farm. And I'm guessing it's like a soy farm. And in the farm, there's a little hut in the middle. And it's like you would picture in a movie where there's just smoke coming out of a little chimney. And it's a like a hut. It's like a hut. It's got like two walls and everything else is made out of like straw or like hay. Uh-huh. And you can hear people and there's cars, but not that many. And you can smell the food. And I'm like skeptical, mad skeptical. I'm like, what kind of dog shit food are they about to try to serve me?
Yeah.
It's like I'm literally in the middle of this farm in a barely building, right? This is barely a structure. And I go in there and you're sitting on the floor. In most Korean restaurants, you sit on the floor. And it's all like old ass everything. Everything's old as fuck. The tables are old. The walls are old. The utensils are old. And then they do it like Korean barbecue style where they give you the grill in front of you and you make, you know, you cook your own food. But they give you this like thinly sliced marinated tofu and then you fry it. And if anybody out there speaks Korean, correct me if I'm wrong. They called it sanchu or sancho. I can't remember. Sang, like sangcho or something like that. And it meant fried tofu, like literal translation. And they did it with like scallions and onion and garlic and salt and soy sauce. And it was fucking phenomenal. Like they would fry it on both sides to where it would look like almost like fried cheese. Like ever had fried cheese before? Like a Greek style fried cheese? Never? So it's like, that's what it looks like. It looks like fried cheese and it smells like... It smells almost like fried cheese, like a quesadilla almost. You know how that fried cheese smell?
Yeah.
That's almost what it smells like. And then I tasted it and it like melts in your mouth and it's fried and you're drinking. And
it's all those condiments.
And it's got all the little like pieces of onion and garlic and pepper on there and soy sauce and these little like scallions that I love. You know, Asians use a lot of scallions, like green onion.
Yeah.
And it was just fucking phenomenal. And I kept eating and eating. It was probably the first meal in Korea that I ate to fullness. Uh-huh. Before that, they had introduced me to a bunch of food that I didn't like. They tried this and tried that, and I would like go to these restaurants with them and end up eating like the chicken because everything else I didn't like. And I, you know, you grow to like a lot of new things. Like as you're there long enough, you know, my palate opened up and I would eat way more stuff. At the end, I'd fucking eat anything, honestly. When I first got there, I was really picky, but as time went on,
You were more open to try the other delicacies.
Yeah, because what you realize is maybe you don't like the way that restaurant made it, but another restaurant makes it differently, and maybe you will like it then. So you have to just like try everything. And then your palate opens up. Really, it's just like a shocker when you grow up with only certain kinds of food. I grew up in my house, all Mexican food. All we ate was Mexican food at home. And then I would go out into the world and eat white people food. So that was pretty much my whole world. Mexican food and white people food. And then as I got older, I got introduced to like Indian food, Thai food, Chinese food. I never had Korean food ever. I never even knew that that was like separate delicacy than Japanese food or Chinese food.
Chinese.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never had Thai food before I moved to Asia. I never had... Yeah, I never had...
A lot of Thai restaurants in... Is there not a lot of...
There's not a lot of Asians in Northwest Indiana. In Northwest Indiana, where I'm from, there's not a lot of Asians. There's Mexicans, there's black people, there's white people, there's Puerto Ricans. That's about it.
The Ricans made it out there. Where's Indiana at? It's in the East Coast, right?
No, it's right in the middle. It's right between Illinois and Ohio, right south of Michigan. So we're like touching Lake Michigan... So just north of us is Michigan, just west of us is Illinois, just east of us is Ohio, and just south of us is Kentucky.
Man, I can't even imagine being bordered by four of the fucking states. that's heavy duty.
It is, man. It's rough, and people are like, I don't know where any of those states are.
Yeah, no, still me. Yeah. I'm like drawing a nicely painted picture in my brain,
yeah.
As opposed to like now, as opposed to like a minute ago where I was like, where the fuck are these states?
No, I think about it because of we're from the middle of the country. We know more about geography than you guys too, because we have to learn about the states around us, and you guys don't have them. Your state is so giant, and then the states next to you are like insignificant, but you do know them.
The biggest state, in my opinion, to California is the Pacific Ocean.
It's the only thing that matters. It's going to swallow us up in the next big earthquake.
Nah, don't say that, bro. Don't say that.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't see it happening.
We're going to be here for... Although, it's supposedly, like, everything is, like, sinking, you know, periodically.
That's what they say, but...
No, but who really knows?
I don't know. As long as people are still making billion-dollar houses in Malibu, I'm sure everybody's going to be okay.
Long live the tectonic plates.
Yeah, man, long live. Stay together forever. You guys hold it together, buddy. The longest-lasting relationship.
Yep. If anything, fuck you. Become Pangea again.
Yeah, I'm down with that, man. I'll walk across the Arctic tundra. You know, I'll put on some fur and go. What do they call that? The Bering Strait.
Yes.
Yep. Dude, I would fucking. I can almost feel it in my blood that my ancestors did that shit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know that my people didn't come from nowhere. Like they came from fucking somewhere. And if all life started in Africa, then they walked here. You know?
Yeah, they did.
And I could feel that walk in my blood, like that I could do it, that if I had to, I could walk for 3 years or whatever the hell, like, and get to a better climate. And I can already picture it. And I think about that a lot. Like, if you have brown in you, like, you've done some fucking traveling in your existence, like your family history.
That's why it blows my mind that there's Mexicans found anywhere other than California.
Yeah, right.
Because supposedly, if not supposedly, actually they have a map of Azatlan, which is the original, let's say, civilization from where it derived all the Aztecs, the Mijes, the Zapotecs, the Olmecs, and the, you know, the 30 other
all the
you
tribes,
know, all those civilizations. All
the civilizations.
Yeah, so they all came from this one spot in it's like bordering California, Arizona area, like around really? That around okay. that sweet spot. They have a map over at UCLA.
No shit.
The library. It's a very old map, you know. It's makes legit sense. Of Aztlan. And then that's why it's like crazy to me. It's like it makes sense for me to be like, oh yeah, Mexicans in California, yeah, you know, Mexicans in Mexico, yeah, you know, continue down into Central America. But when I hear like, yo, Mexicans in Michigan, I'm like, how the fuck did you guys make it over there?
Train tracks.
Like my parents, like they immigrated here. They crossed the border. My mom did. My dad did too. They crossed the border 2 days through the Tijuana Desert. Two fucking days. And then that was already grueling enough. And then to come here, like, thankfully, my grandma's brother was the one that invited my mom and my uncle.
Okay.
And
he came first?
Yeah, he came first. And then he helped my mom and my uncle, my mom's brother, like, assimilate as soon as they landed onto this country. He was there to pick them up, so on and so forth. But I can't imagine, like, after like 2 days in the fucking desert, my mom, my dad, and my uncle, like, they never thought, like, yeah, let's fucking keep going for another third. I don't know how long it even takes to get to Michigan.
Keep going. keep going another couple of days.
Like fuck ooh. That. Like that. Thankfully, again, my grandma's brother, Matthew Simon.
They were here.
He was here and he started his family. And actually the group that my mom and my dad met here in the here in Los Angeles, they didn't come at the same time. My dad immigrated here in the mid 80s. My mom immigrated here in the early 90s. But my tío Simón, he had a legitimate family in Mexico.
No shit.
And he was bringing them over. And then he asked his sister, my grandma, hey, would you like for me to take some of the ones that want to go to the United States, like some of your children? My uncle was like immediately like he wanted to go. And then my grandma advised my mom like, hey, you should go too. Mm-hmm. So then they were in a group with my uncle's illegitimate, you know, legitimate family. Let me not say illegitimate. I mean, illegitimate in the sense that they weren't his number one family. They were the number twos.
Sure, sure.
But I just can't. And thankfully, that was my point. Thankfully, he was already here, assimilated, that he was able to like help my
Yeah, that's awesome. It makes it. And you know, I'm sure that's why my family ended up in Chicago area, because somebody went first, you know? It has to be. It has to be. And it just happens to be a lot of people from the same part of Mexico. There's a lot of people from state of Michoacán in Chicago, in East Chicago, where I'm from, in Indiana. There's a ton of people from the state of Michoacán. Because from what I understand, there was railroad tracks that went directly from Mexico to the steel mills that used to be in Chicago and in Gary, Indiana. There was a big, giant steel mill factory there that's shut down now. Well, now, actually, it's still open. But back in the day, it used to be huge. And now, like, big sections of it are abandoned. Like, if you drive over the bridge from Indiana to Chicago, there's, like, a city that's a factory. But if you look down, it's just, like, sprawling. Like, as far as your eye could see, a giant factory that used to produce steel. But then the Japanese started producing better steel for cheaper. So then all the factories shut down. And that's why Gary died. That's why Gary is such a shitty town. Because it was a one industry town. And history tells us one industry towns don't do so well. Like what happened to Detroit. They were in the auto industry.
Yeah, we got to see that in our lifetime.
Absolutely. We've seen both of that shit. Well, I guess not so much Gary. It happened in like the 50s. But that's still like my parents' lifetime. Well, I guess my grandparents' lifetime. My grandpa's still alive. I still have one grandparent.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. Long live your grandpa.
Yeah, he's like 85. And he's living forever. Good for him. He's moving in with my mom, which is really awesome. He's not going to be alone anymore because my grandma just died maybe 2 years ago or a year ago.
Oh, man. Rest in peace,
thank
your
you,
grandma.
And she was the best grandma. I miss her all the time. Grandma Lupe.
Grandma Lupe, rest in peace.
And my grandpa, you know, by himself, it must be rough, but he's moving in with my mom, so that's great. They're going to take care of each other, and I'm happy for both of them. And, you know, you just hope that you have somebody like that when you're 85. Anybody to help you and take care of you. Like you said, to help you usher through this world. Like your uncle, or what you say, your dad's, or your...
My grandma's...
Your grandma's brother.
Brother, yeah. And he has... He thankfully lives
took
with
people
my
in.
Aunts. Yeah, he took people in.
Exactly.
Lives with my aunts, and they
which
take
my
care
mom's
of him.
Done, helping him on to the next world.
And my grandma in Mexico City, she still lives... Well, of course she still lives. Like my grandpa was gifted a piece of land from his father.
Really?
And then my grandma, you know, rest in peace, my grandpa died 3 years ago. But my grandma still lives there. And growing up... my grandma, she had 11 kids. So they range from like one being almost 60 to the youngest being like early 40s. So then the ones that were like in the older ones, like as they got married and stuff, my grandpa would be like, hey, this is the land that you've been living on that I was gifted from my father. I'm gonna give you this piece over here. And then he kept giving pieces of land to his daughters, his wow. mostly daughters. And to this day, there's like 9-10 of my aunts and uncles, eight of my aunts and uncles that live still in that one plot of land that my grandpa was gifted. And because of that, they're able to take care of my grandma, who's 84 years old right now. And they feed her, clothe her, wash her, like everything, right?
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it literally is, bro. It literally is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we don't all have that kind of relationship with our family, where we have somebody that's going to take care of us for sure when we're old, And even like if it's a husband and wife, it should be like your kids taking care of you. Like it should be like that, it used to be, you know, old school.
That's how it should be. Cause yeah, like
your kids take care of you. You took care of them when they were babies. They take care of you when you're old. And then the cycle continues.
The cycle of life. You have to take care of, like, older people are like, they're mentally, they're obviously very wise and beyond their years. Mm-hmm. But they do need a lot of help, as does a child that right. is opposite. It's, mm-hmm. Well, not really the opposite. It's like it's even similar. Yeah. It's similar, but less. They don't have the education, the knowledge, the wisdom.
You can't use a baby like you can use an older person. An older person has, like you said, experience, wisdom, capability, skills yeah. that a baby cannot have. All right.
But at the end of the day, they both need the same kind of caretaking. Mm-hmm. If you want to see them survive for a long right. time, if you don't really care for your descendants, the people that are above you, your elders, and you know, that's not right. Right. And then secondly, no. like they're not gonna last long, because if you think about it too, when let's say when like there's a grandparents, mm-hmm. and then they're surrounded by all their not only their grandchildren but their great grandchildren, and in some cases their great great grandchildren, right?
Right.
That like the beauty of that is that the young children breathe like fresh air, like their bodies are like just as fresh as new. They're like the DNA that they're breathing out into the air has all these molecules that will help the grandparents live yeah. longer.
The old people, and I use the term old people not in a derogatory way, just in descriptory, that they need that youth around them. Like they need life around them. They need excitement. They need challenges. They need something else to think about besides television. Like that's what, it's really sad when you see old people that just watch TV. That's all they have. They have nothing else. And it's like, man, somebody should talk to you. You should play a game. You should go for a walk. You should have a conversation. And you would if there was kids around, because kids are inquisitive. Kids like talking. Kids want to be a part of everything that's going on. And you see an old person with a kid, they brighten up, you know, they liven up. Same thing with an animal, actually, too. If you put dogs and cats around old people, they brighten up, too. They mm-hmm. get, like, a new life. They, like, level up for a second. It's like a drug, yeah. you know? And maybe it is, like you said, they're breathing in that youth, that energy, and taking it in.
And the trade-off is that the young people get wisdom.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They get wisdom. That necessary wisdom that we don't have just because we're not old enough. You know, I don't know that much shit. I'm still pretty young, you know, compared to somebody who's 70, 80. Right.
You're very young.
My grandfather is 3 times older than me. I'm sure he knows some shit that I don't understand, you know.
That's why I love talking to my grandparents. Yeah. Like my grandpa's in Pasadena County, they're not here no more. But I just took an opportunity to go down to Mexico to learn anything and everything I could from my grandma's. Mm. And thankfully I did, because not only did I just love learning about the history of our family, the history of it's Mexico important. During that time, and then me being there makes them happy, and it gives them that, you know, that chemical of like, yo, my brain's functioning more. Brain functions more, the cells in our body function more. Mm-hmm. And then it's all like a positive benefit for everybody, really.
Yeah, it's like it's not a mystery. It's pretty clear that that's good for everybody and good for everything. It's just, I don't know, people make excuses. It's hard. It is hard. People are busy. I'm sure it wasn't easy for you to get to Mexico, but you had to put in the effort. You had to figure it out.
Yeah, and I hadn't been in 4 years, so that it made me feel really bad. I'm like, I'm just wasting time just like bullshitting around
making
here.
Making excuses.
Yeah, I can buy a ticket by not doing like a lot of things. And just like
budget, save some money.
Allocating resources towards money for the plane, money for, like just recently I went down, I bought all of my cousins in Mexico, I bought them sweaters. So, you know, I didn't smoke weed for a while. I didn't drink a bottle every fucking week, let's say, of tequila. So all that money that I saved, I just allocated those resources to buying my 12, 13, 14, 15 primos in Mexico clothing, right?
Yeah, no shit, man. That's awesome.
And it's awesome, man. It really is, man. And they all appreciated it. I appreciated the fact that they received me so well, and then I was able to give them something a jacket, sweater,
a gift.
So on, so
no,
on. Yeah,
it's so big. I grew up like that, to give, right? To give even when you don't have a lot. And I think a lot of it, I remember, this is just by chance, and eventually we got to get back to this pet stuff. When I was little, my mom used to make us give our toys to the cousins in Mexico, because my grandparents used to go to Mexico every once in a while, our aunts or uncles or my dad or my mom or somebody would be going to Mexico, and she would make us give our toys to them. and we would be so upset. We would be so mad. But then, you know, like a week later, we wouldn't even remember. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, whatever, we have other toys. But looking back, you know, that was something my mom, I'm really glad that she used to make us. Like, she didn't give us a choice. Mm-hmm. She didn't care if it was our favorite toy. She didn't care. She was like, what do you guys live like in luxury. You just don't even realize it.
You don't, because in that one toy, it may have meant like a significant amount to you.
Sure.
But to your cousins and everybody in Mexico, that meant the world. Yeah, like, huge. Oh my God, they got a toy from the United, not only a toy, but they got a toy from the United States, right. Which adds an extra sense of like an luxury, extra layer.
Yeah.
Of comfort and beauty, really.
Yeah, no, it is something special and like art, beauty, it's something they probably cherish. Yeah. And I see that now too, like looking back, I'm glad that I had that awareness. I had a lot of experiences like that growing up where you're around people that grew up, you know, you can say you grew up poor, right? I grew up in a poor area with poor parents and poor blah, blah, blah. But then you go to like a third world country and you see what real poor is. And it's like, man, you cannot compare the two. You don't know what it's like. You don't know. And you to compare, to even think, if you grew up in America, you grew up with some privilege. You grew up with a few, and not necessarily everybody. I guess some kids grew up in a basement with people fucking spitting on them all day or
whatever.
There's
also some kids over not too far away from here. There's some kids by the canals under LAX. There's a whole civilization of families down there. They would send... Yeah, I was working for the LA's Best program.
No shit.
Yeah, so they would tell me like, yo, look out for these signs that some of these kids do not have a home to go to at night. They go to the canals where the water runs through, and they have it's a tent city. Wow. And they literally send their children with no breakfast, nothing. So make sure you look out for the ones that are hungry, give them more attention, more love, more support, because there's some kids that, yeah, they do have, they are from the proletariat, but they do have three meals a day. Mm. There's some kids that are like not a part of the proletariat, like even bottom of that, where they still are the proletariat, but there's levels to it, that they're like living in tent cities where the only meals they get are at the school lunches, which is incredible.
Yeah,
incredibly sad.
Yeah, you got to consider that. And that's something I talked about it before, and you don't realize. You really do categorize everybody. You put everybody in little categories, whether you're doing it on purpose or not. And then when you meet kids, you want to treat them like adults. You want to assume that they're responsible for all of their problems, because a lot of them had bad attitudes. But that's just because they're kids. Most kids don't have a good attitude. They're just immature. And these kids that are immature and coming from the worst imaginable situations that you couldn't imagine. If I told you, write a story about the worst way to grow up, some of these kids have it worse than that. Like, you couldn't come up with this shit. You couldn't make it up.
I used to get like hit like hard when I was a kid. And, you know, my dad used to beat me and like with the belt, and I had my asthma attacks. But then I was at this open mic at the Venice Grind, like, let's say 3 years ago. And then I was real good friends with, his name was Randy. I forget his last name, but he was an author, and he would read parts of his book. And then we became good friends because he liked, you know, metal and all that stuff. I like metal. We both wear metal t-shirts. And then he told me like, yeah, like when I was growing up, my dad would like literally deck me, like with a punch in the face. Like, me and my brother just like, and I was like, holy shit, that's terrible. I thought I had it.
Sure,
like,
right.
But it's like you're saying, like, I could describe it thinking this is the worst, but no, like it takes learning about other cultures, other people to learn perspective.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said of like third world countries, like, yeah, we may think we have it this way, but it is so much more worse in third world countries.
Right. So no matter what, yeah, that's what I think. Like, no matter what, it's still worse than third world country. Because I taught in the school in Gary, worst case scenario, kid, bad kid, getting in trouble, falling asleep a lot, not doing any work, never wants to take his hoodie off, never wants to take his earphones out. And I'm like, what is this kid's problem? And they're like, oh, he lives in a van with his grandma and his six siblings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, it is the middle of the winter. Like, ooh. What do you mean they live in a van? Like, how can I make this kid suddenly care about school? Like, it's not going to happen. Like, you can hope and you can pray, but you can't make them. You have to just introduce them and just, like, try to facilitate, try to be supportive.
Just try to be, there's some people in life that just need extra love. And then in that situation, those children do need extra love so that they can look at you as a role model and further their education, you know?
Yeah, I'm all positive and I'm all, like, I can help any kid. But some of these kids, like, if they don't want your help, you're not their parent, you're not their relative, you're not their friend, and they're not going to open up to you that easily. Like, it's going to take a little bit more than just, hey, kid, what's going on? I'm cool. You can talk to me. Mm-hmm. They don't give a fuck. And not only that, is they're not, they don't trust you because they can't trust anybody. A bunch of people in their life that they were supposed to trust let them down. So you just can't even get in. And that's not a lot of kids. It's just a few. A lot of kids you can get to. Some of the worst ones with the worst attitudes, you can get to them. But the ones that I think are the most traumatized are the hardest because they like have realized that they're almost more mature. They can almost look at me as like, you're just a teacher. You're not qualified to fucking help me. And that's what I look at it too. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a fucking youth minister. None of that shit. I'm just a teacher. I'm not qualified to help you with your problems. I could give you advice, but my perspective is so different than yours. My advice is a guess. It's just a educated guess. I don't fucking know how to deal with your problems. I've never had those problems. And I don't know anybody who's had those problems. So my advice to you is like just general and not specific and probably not generally helpful. And you know, keep your head up. You know, there's a brighter day. There's always sun after the storm. You can say shit like that, but they might not have any good days coming. They might be one of those shit situations.
Yeah,
where it just gets worse.
You know, you're completely right, man. I grew up in a building where I see this my friend's younger brother. Like I tell him, like he always looks like he's at the verge of like, you know, offing himself. So he's like 10 now. So I've been telling him for 5 years now, hey, don't worry, bro. You're going to turn 18 once. It's going to be fine. Have a smile. And of course, I can only do so much because obviously I don't live in their apartment complex. I don't live in their apartment.
Right.
So to that extent, I understand you because there's only so much an instructor can do and also only so much time we do have. Mm-hmm. An instructor does have.
With that kid.
The majority is with their family. And if their family's not going to help them out, chances are slimmer than.
Yeah.
Than should be.
Slimmer than slim. And you gotta look at it realistically. I went to school. I didn't talk to none of my teachers. I didn't have any relationships with them. I know some kids did, but I never wanted that. I never wanted a teacher to try to get personal with me. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of other kids are like me that don't want the teachers to ask what's going on in your life. How's your home? Is your parents treating you nice? I didn't like them. I didn't trust any of them either. You know, I didn't like any of my teachers. I liked them just enough, like enough to you stay over there, you do your thing, I'll do mine, we're cool. And I kind of regret it. I do feel like I should have had some relationship with my teachers, but it was almost like a rebellion. A lot of it was rebellion. Like I wanted to not like them. They were telling me what to do, and I didn't like being told what to do. But now as an instructor, you got to let kids do their own. You can't, it's not a movie. This is not a movie. You cannot get involved. You can't ask personal questions. You do your job. You fit your quota. You ask, you like record everything that you talk to these kids about. I don't think it's like it used to be. I think it probably used to be where teachers were like family members, but now it's like it's like a official position. Like I can't touch you. I can't ask personal questions. I can't tell you anything personal about me. You know, all that is out the window now.
Yeah, it's not like how you said how it was back in the days in the 50s, 60s, 70s where like the family would invite their teachers over for dinner and stuff like that.
Right.
Now it's like, yo, there's 40 kids in a classroom. That's the case that I had as far as like my end of my education.
Mm.
And it was just terrible, man. It should only be like 16 to 22 students max.
Shit, max, dude. Like when in the best case scenario, you have like 6 or 7 kids in a room. Like kids, adults, middle school, high school, it doesn't matter. Like you can keep hold like 5, 6, 7. That's a great group.
Yeah.
5, 6, 7. That's a great group. You could do groups of 2, groups of 3, bring everybody together. You can keep track of everybody. As soon as the groups start getting in the 10s and teens and 20s, you have to accept that a few of them are going to slip through the tracks.
Yeah.
The cracks. Mm-hmm. It's just you can't watch them all. And some kids are actively trying to get away with doing as little as possible. And you can't chase them down. It's pointless. It's like, you don't want to do the work? Then what the fuck are you doing here?
George
like,
Carlin had a great bit about that.
What did
he say? He was like the words that we use are all bullshit because like, hey, first it was like, hey, we're trying to give these kids, like back in the days, they called this initiative the Head Start movement. We're like, we're going to give all these kids a head start. And then it became No Child Left Behind, which is what I'm mostly, what I mostly know of. And then right. his comment was like, in the Head Start, No Child Left Behind, somewhere in between, there's a bunch of kids that fell through the cracks.
Yeah, man, it's everybody. It's so fucking unfortunate. But the public education system has become a push them through program. Push them through. No yeah. Child Left Behind means that they don't fail kids anymore. Yeah. Remember, kids used to flunk yeah. and have to repeat grades? They don't do that anymore. They just push you through. Yeah. And then at the end, if you didn't complete all your requirements, you're just not eligible for college. That's yeah. it. That's the only repercussion. You can't get into college. So that fucks you over, and it just leaves you behind. Like, No Child Left Behind is opposite. It leaves you behind.
It leaves them into a society. It leads them into a society where they're not functioning at their best capabilities yeah. as opposed
they
got, to, like,
they miss the key days. Core academic skills, reading, writing, arithmetic. They can't read or won't.
Won't read. There's some
can't write, like, punctuation, grammar, spelling is horrible.
Terrible.
And they can't do math. They can't do fractions. They can't do multiplication tables. They can't divide. They don't know percentages, ratios, like fractions, basic elementary fractions. Literally what you would teach somebody in third and fourth grade. 90% of the people I teach don't know. Can't do it. Get frustrated if you even mention the word fractions. They yeah. get intimidated. Mm-hmm. And like, yo, we teach this to seven-year-olds. Like, honestly, like, I know it seems crazy to you, but it's not. You use this information daily. You say the word half. You say the word quarter. You say the word eighth. You say the word whatever. You use these terms. You use money. You use time. You know about years versus months versus weeks versus days versus hours versus seconds. It's the same shit. You're multiplying, you're dividing, you're adding, you're subtracting. And people are like, they didn't learn fractions in elementary school, and somehow they made it all the way through elementary, middle, high school, and never learned fractions.
I always knew how to do, you know, arithmetic, all that good stuff. But the thing was that I didn't know how to. I was pushed through the cracks
sure.
to the point that I was able to do. I got like a B in my pre-calculus course in my senior year. I'm able to do conic ellipses and figure out all that good nitty gritty.
Nice.
But when it came to taking the placement test at Santa Monica College, I couldn't to advance to the part that where I knew what to do, conic ellipses, pre-calculus.
To get to that
on the standardized test on the computer that Santa Monica College offers, I first needed to know how to do long division by fucking hand. Guess what? I literally remember playing with my hands during fourth grade and playing WWE with my hands, looking up at the board, seeing them teach long division or whatever the fuck, and I'm like, nah, I'm gonna keep playing wrestling with my WWE with my hands. So literally, I'm having flashbacks of fourth grade when I'm 18 years old.
When you were supposed to learn it.
Taking this fucking Santa Monica College course, and I can't get past the fucking basic shit. Dumb. So what they printed out, they're like, all right, you belong in basic arithmetic. It's going to take you 5 courses here at SMC to get to college level.
Right.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Obviously, I know how to do conic ellipses and pre-calculus work, but I cannot do long division. Right. So guess what? You know what? I bit the bullet and I fucking took 5 classes.
5 classes that don't go towards a major. They're just like beginner elementary level classes.
And I took fall, summer, winter, spring, winter, all four. To catch up. Wow. And honestly, it helped me in my life, obviously, yeah. because I needed to learn how to do that.
That's what it is.
Manually. But at the end of the day, it's like, motherfucker, this calculators that we invented that help us tremendously.
They don't give a fuck.
No, it's all monetary. It's all mm-hmm. business.
Yeah, man. It's a weed out program because you're going to take the class and you're going to pay for it whether you fail it or pass it.
And the textbook was $89 to $100, and the first chapter was addition.
Let me tell you how they get you, too, is a lot of people fail those classes and have to retake them. So, they get made
twice. Some of my friends that we came from high school. What's funny is that, like, my one friend that was in my class for basic arithmetic, he actually got reprimanded in high school for cheating off my test in our geometry class, and he had like academic dishonesty points added to his transcript because literally it's like the classic situation. He has test A, I have test B. He copied my answers from test B.
And he got caught up like that?
Yeah, 2 other people got caught up like that as well. So 3 of them had to come into the classroom, tell the whole class with the vice dean, let's say, and be like, hey, we cheated. How did they cheat? I looked, it was the vice principal was like, yeah, they had a test A, they had the answers right for test B.
That's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
Kids are so dumb.
They didn't even look at the fucking numbers. Yeah, and guess what? My point is that that same kid that copied me in high school, me and him both ended up in basic arithmetic.
Okay.
And guess what? I got out of it. He had to take it again.
Again.
And that's, it's a tragedy, man.
Dude, it is. And usually those people, once they take it and fail it and take it again, a lot of them fail it again and then just drop out of school.
Oh my God. Santa Monica College boasts the number one transfer school in the California.
Wow.
The number one transfer school in California is Santa Monica College.
Wow.
With a 17% transfer rate.
Wow.
That means out of every 100 fucking students that go to Santa Monica College, sorry for cursing, only 17 go on to fucking transfer to a 4-year university.
Wow.
It's incredible, bro. It's incredible.
That is, and that's a high the fail highest rate
in California.
That is a high fail rate.
That basically means every community college is a sham.
Well, my school is a community college, and we have a 70% graduation rate, a 70% placement rate. That means not only do our students finish, they get jobs afterwards.
That's really good.
It's really good. Our school is really fucking good, but it is dying because of COVID. We had the worst year of starts ever, and now we're finally letting students back to lab, and we still had a really shitty start. So we're like, damn, I am just doing the math in my head, and it's like, man, our bosses can't afford this building if there's no students. Like, every classroom used to be full all day long, and now, like, I have one class with nobody in it right now. I never had that before. I always had like maximum, like a waiting list. I always had a waiting list. And now I have nobody in that class, literally zero people. And I have some new ones starting on Monday, I think like 5 or 6, but that's nothing. That's nothing. I used to have 24 on the regular. That was my max. That's how many chairs I had. And it was like, damn, things are changing. Everything's fucking changing. But there's always an industry, like I was substituting in Carson, and they have a huge veterinary assistant program. They had like 70 students. We have about 30, and then the other school in Riverside has like 60 or maybe 40 or something like that, more than us, but less than Carson. And it's like, wow, of all the programs, the veterinary one is still doing great. People still love their animals. All the animal hospitals are still open. They're all hiring. I get fucking job offers all the time. So the animal industry is still doing well. And we are already like way into this podcast. So we're going to take a break for the commercial break, and then we'll come back. All right. So you guys are going to keep the recording going. Little break, bathroom, or fill up our waters, and then we'll come back. What's up, Pet Peeves podcast listeners? If you or someone you know has a cat, and you notice this cat drinking from the bathroom sink or from the bathtub, it's because cats prefer cold, fresh, flowing water. Most people leave a bowl of water on the floor all day, and cats don't like to drink it. This causes a lot of cats to develop kidney diseases later in their life. We'd like to recommend a plug-in automatic water fountain to our listeners. The Purr Power Pet Fountain is perfect for cats or dogs. It has a centralized fountain, which is great because we had one where it was on the side and my cat and dog would make a big mess. The sound of the water flowing will attract them to the fountain and they can drink fresh, flowing water all day. It does come with a filter that needs to be cleaned and changed from time to time, similar to a Brita water filter. Use our Amazon affiliate link in the description to purchase the Purr Power Pet Fountain and you will help support the Pet Peeves podcast. I recommend this for any pet owner out there who wants to prevent kidney failure and kidney problems in their cat or dog, and for people who just want to get their cats out of the sink and out of the bathtub. Use the Amazon affiliate link in the description and help the Pet Peeves podcast grow. Thank you guys, and let's get back to the episode. Hey, thank you guys. Welcome back. Yes, please check out the Amazon link for the Your Power Pet Fountain. You know, it's in the commercial. The pet fountain is great. I have one. Please check out the link. Support the podcast. Every time you guys use the Amazon link to buy something from Amazon, the Pet Peeves podcast gets a small donation, small contribution. Not a lot of money, don't get me wrong. So any contribution does go directly back into the podcast. We're trying to get production value and all that. So thank you guys that do support. Become a member, supporting member on Anchor for $1 a month or $5 a month or $10 a month, different levels of membership. Get exclusive Pet Peeves podcast content. We are starting season 2 of the Pet Peeves podcast. We're going to have new graphics, new music, new videos and clips on YouTube and Instagram. I'm really going to put a lot of effort into promoting. I do want you guys to check out the Goon Squad. Check out Goon Squad at Goon Squad Comedy on Instagram and at Goon Squad Comedy on Twitter. And we still have Roger here. Roger's been an amazing guest. Roger actually came with a real pet question. So please, let's give him the time. What's going on, Roger?
So, first of all, thank you so much for taking care of my dog that one time I brought
it. Welcome. Listen to Roger's other episode. We tell the whole story about Tamale.
Yeah, Tamale. Right now, what my Tamale suffers from a lot is, and we've tried to remedy a few times now, but she has pulgas, fleas.
Oh my God, dude. This is such a coincidence. You know what I was going to talk about? Fleas.
Oh my God.
I was going to talk about one thing today. Fleas.
Oh my God.
That is insane. Please ask me your question. I'm so happy. What a wonderful coincidence. Go ahead.
So I've bought her, of course, we have the shampoo for fleas. Right. Of course, I bought her the $5 collar, the $20 collars for fleas. Both of them didn't work. And then we also make sure that every time she scratches herself, I make sure to inspect immediately that spot she's scratching herself in. Not all the time, but a few times I'll actually see the flea, like, and I'll grab it, kill it. Other times I'll notice that too. Like once last week I was walking her, and then I was walking her on like the other side of the street where I usually don't. And I noticed that this one, she was smelling this one patch of grass. And I literally in real fucking time, I saw like a flea jump from the patch of grass onto her ear and then jump on her back
and disappear into her fur.
No, fuck that, because I was quick with it too. I was like, whack, I got you. And then I pulled her away from that, because I pulled her away from that patch of grass, because not knowingly but knowingly I know there's more fleas in that patch of grass.
Fuck yeah.
So I took her away from that. I simultaneously got the flea, you know. We kept walking. I just like threw it to the side. And then let's say today my mom she killed 3 fleas on Tamale.
Yeah.
I killed 2 fleas an hour later on Tamale. And I'm like, holy.
You guys got a big problem.
Big problem.
How long has it been going on?
It's been going on for months now. Yeah. And I want to remedy it as opposed to my dad being like, hey, that's just how dogs are. I'm like, no, it's not possible.
Okay. So it's really difficult to get rid of fleas. Let's start there. Once you have them, it's hard to get rid of them unless you pay a lot of money for oral or topical prescription flea preventive, not what you get from the store, what you get from a doctor, okay?
Oh, wow, okay.
What you get from the doctor, prescription level stuff works. Everything you get from the store kind of works. Some of it works better than others. Some of it works longer than others. But in general, the stuff from the store will not solve your problem completely unless you use it year round. You never not have your pet on the flea preventative. You got to stop the flea life cycle. So that was my whole lesson for the podcast today, is the flea life cycle. If you see an adult flea, that is the tip of the iceberg. The one adult flea just lets you know there are millions of eggs, pupa, and larvae in the environment, either inside or outside. They're usually coming from outside. They're usually coming from cats. They love to live in the sand. So there's a bunch of fleas in Southern California. Southern California is flea season all year round. That's not like that where I'm from. In Indiana and Chicago area, it gets cold and the ground freezes and all those fleas and bugs and shit die. And we get a whole season of no bugs, no fleas, nothing. Southern California, there's always fleas. They're everywhere. And they're especially in the sand. And then people take their pets to the beach and bring that shit back to the mainland. People go to the beach, bring their blankets back to the mainland. And cats carry fleas. And cats take the fleas from the outside to the inside. Because cats, even if your cat, first of all, a lot of people have indoor, outdoor cats, so they're bringing them in. And then other people just have cats around their houses. The cats are just around because the cats scavenge. And the cats live inside like the walls and shit like that. Live under the porches and shit like that. So then the fleas are there. And then the fleas sense carbon dioxide and heat. So wherever you are and your pets are, the fleas are traveling in those directions through the walls, in the grass, everywhere. They're just traveling towards the warmth and the heat. So they're everywhere. So once you see one on your pet, fleas lay 50 eggs a day. 50 eggs a day, one female flea. One. So if you see one, you got to assume there's a lot more, and they're laying eggs. They're laying eggs on your pet, and then your pet goes everywhere in your house. Everywhere your pet lays, everywhere your pet shakes. When they shake, the eggs go everywhere. They're under the furniture, they're in the bedding, they're in the carpet, they're where the dog sleeps, they're where you sleep. So you to get rid of the fleas, it takes a couple of steps, but the key is year-round preventative, okay? So you can get shit from the store. You can get Frontline Plus. I use Frontline Plus. It works. The box says it works for a month. It does not work for a month. It works for 2 to 3 weeks maximum. 2 to 3 weeks maximum. If you can get it to work 4 weeks, you don't have a big infestation. You have like a small infestation. That's fine. You got lucky. But most people, you're going to have to kill the adult fleas that are on your animal. So that's going to take something like a flea shampoo. The flea shampoo will kill the adult, alive adult of fleas. But that's a tip of the iceberg. Once you kill the adults, if you don't treat the environment, as soon as you put them on the ground, those eggs hatch. Those eggs hatch when they sense the motion and they sense the carbon dioxide and the heat from your pet. So an egg will literally sit and wait for the animal to come near it, and then it'll hatch. So an egg can be in the environment for months in the environment. So if you're not vacuuming all that shit up, you're just waiting for another infestation, and you're probably not vacuuming everywhere. You're not getting under all the furniture. You're not getting under the bed. You're not getting under the chairs and under the couch and where your pets go. You know, the pets, especially if you have cats, they fucking go everywhere. So you have to literally get rid of bedding, get rid of couches, get rid of everything to get rid of this infestation, or keep your pet on year-round preventative, because the year-round preventative, eventually all the eggs hatch, become adults, jump on your pet, bite, and die, and they don't have the opportunity to lay more eggs. So you can stop the life cycle like that, but it's expensive. The Frontline Plus that we buy, it's a 6-month supply, but lasts about half that time, so a 3-month supply, and it's like $80 to $90. So $80, $90 that you're spending every 3 to 4 months and to keep your pet flea free all year round. Other than that, you know, you can give the flea baths and do the powders on the carpeting and do the bombing in your apartment. Flea collars work for a very short amount of time and only locally. They only work around the neck, around the area where it is. And what it is, there's a powder on that flea collar that kind of distributes itself on the fur, but it lays on the fur, not so much on the skin where it needs to be. And then it can affect you, and it can affect the pet too. The pet's like breathing in that powder. You're getting the powder on your hands and shit. And then you're touching your face and shit. So it's not good. What you want is the topical ones that go between the shoulder blade directly on the skin. I like fipronil. That's the active ingredient in Frontline Plus. The other one that's good is Advantage or Advantix. The other one, Revolution for cats, is really good. And that's just for fleas, not mentioning intestinal parasites, heartworms, ticks, all this other shit that we can worry about. But for Southern California people, fleas is the main enemy. And really, you guys have to be on year-round preventative and not thinking that there's ever one flea is like one ant. There's a million more somewhere else, right? There's never one. That's not a thing. Treat it like a serious problem and don't wait. Don't wait for it to get so bad that you have to start throwing away your carpet and your clothes and your dog's bed and your dog's toys. And I've had to do that before. When I was young, we brought in a cat from outside and we had an infestation. And we had to throw away a bunch of stuff. And that sucked, but we learned our lesson. And now I keep my pets on the front line. Like I have a boxes full of front line for my pets. And it doesn't last that long, and it doesn't work perfectly, but it's better than nothing. And as long as you don't, like, sleep on it. Like, what people do wrong is say they go to the vet and they get the prescription stuff that works, and you have to give it every month. So you give it on the 1st of January or whatever, and then the next month you forget, and you give it, like, on the 3rd of February. In that 2 or 3 days, there could be a huge infestation. There could be all those eggs that waited in the environment to hatch, jump on your pet, and start the cycle all over again. And that's what people are like, oh, I gave the pill, but there's still fleas. Did you give it right? Did you give it correctly? Did you keep track of it every single month like you were supposed to? Probably not. And you're going to say you did, but I know people. People forget. People don't think. People think that because I don't see any fleas, there's no problem. Oh, there's fleas. You just don't see them.
Yeah.
And so that's something people really got to pay attention to. And again, if you take your pet outside, you're exposing them to fleas, like no matter what. And people in the colder climates, when it is frozen outside, you don't really have to worry about fleas. So lucky for you. But for all those guys out there, a lot of dogs have flea bite allergy. So even if there's one flea that bites, it will cause an allergic reaction and the dog will have a bad rash. Then they scratch and all that and it becomes an infection. And it's just really bad for the pets. Not comfortable for them. Fleas spread disease. Fleas carry a tapeworm. So if your pet has fleas and eats the flea, you know, they like chew them, they try to eat them, they bite at it, yeah, and then they swallow the flea, and inside the flea is a larva for a tapeworm. So when your pet has tapeworms, it's because they have fleas. So whenever people are coming into the animal hospital with worms in their dog's poop, and it's tapeworm, which looks like little packets of rice that move, the tapeworms actually move, and they look like rice. Yeah, but they wiggle because the round worms look like spaghetti. It look like more like a worm. So the tapeworms come from the flea. So people don't realize that either. If you have people get tapeworms in their pet and they keep giving dewormer, that's not going to do shit if you're not treating the fleas. That's not doing anything. You got to get the fleas. If you kill the fleas, then the tapeworms will go away too, but you still got to take a dewormer. You got to do both. Dewormer for the tapeworm and flea killer for the flea. Yeah, so that's the other thing people don't realize. If your pet has fleas, it probably has tapeworms too. So you got to get it checked out for that. Get those, check the poop, get the fecal exams.
I just got a fecal exam recently.
She was clean?
She was clean, thank God. Thank God. But yeah, yeah. I took a sample down there. And
good. And that's another, we talked about that.
Yeah, I got my $25. Yeah. Bucks. I got $25 off.
You did?
Yeah, because it was their mistake. Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, that's another reason why people got to pick up their dog's poop too, because you don't know if your dog has tapeworms that's going to give it to another dog. So pick up your poop. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, thank you for telling me that. Everything.
For sure.
That's very helpful. Very, very helpful. I was going to say, so I've given my dog, I bought her the Advantage Plus. Okay. So it was the droplets that you put like right behind the neck of of my little tamale. The only thing about that is I did see it said a side effect that it might cause irritation.
Yeah.
And I did notice that she was very uncomfortable in her own skin, let's say.
Yeah, I've seen the revolution. They'll call it like, there's a word for it. They describe it like it feels like if your foot is asleep, like a tingling sensation. Yeah.
Okay.
But you could also describe that as like a burning sensation. Mm-hmm. But that's what they say, that it can tingle on the animals and that they just kind of panic. Because it's uncomfortable, but it's not really painful. That's what they say. Yeah. But a lot of people don't like Advantage or Advantix, whatever one it is. Advantage?
I think it is Advantage. Yeah.
Because of that. But it works, and a lot of animals don't react to it. Like a lot of dogs or cats. Like I remember when I first heard somebody say, animals have bad reactions to Advantage. I'm like, what? I'd never seen that ever. But then I did see it. I saw a cat act like we poured acid on it.
Whoa.
And it was just like a regular application. And I was like, oh, wow, some animals are super sensitive to this. Yeah. But animals are like people. Like some of them have high thresholds for pain and some of them have low thresholds for pain. We call those animals bitches. They're babies. Hey, the food is here. Yay. Okay, so we're going to start wrapping up. We have two more segments, actually. This one is questions from the internet. So we did get a couple questions. We got from Guam Felix. One of my really good friends in comedy here in LA.
Shout out Guam. He's cool.
Guam's cool as fuck. Comedy store guy. Always the best dude to talk to, hang out with. Best personality. Always. He's going to be on the Pet Peeves podcast. I just talked to him, which reminds me, everybody that made the birthday video for me. Did you see the happy birthday video
that he made?
That Diana made for me? A bunch of people sent Diana happy birthdays.
I think I might have saw photos where it was just like a photo collage of like, just like you guys are in different periods of time.
No, it was a whole video of people telling me happy birthday. And it was like 20 people all telling me happy birthday. And it was a lot of friends and family. And Diana edited it together on the new iMac on Apple or iMovie. And it came out awesome. And it was really fucking touching. Guam was on it. A bunch of goons were on it. You weren't on it.
I'm going to be honest. I don't check Facebook Messenger like that. And then I just saw it. Like, literally, I checked my Facebook Messenger and I saw, you know, the message. So I was like, oh, fuck. It's already
all good, dude. You're here. So you're just as good as everybody else that was in the video. You're actually in real life. But it was an awesome gift and Guam was there. So Guam asks, What breed of dog tends to have health problems? How do you make a dog stop peeing in the house? Can dog doo-doo spread disease? Best way to get rid of fleas? Hey, look at that, another flea question. Okay, best way to get rid of fleas is oral preventatives or topical preventatives that you get from the veterinarian. Now, the options of the shit you could buy from the store, again, it works, but not for the full month. Not as effective as it might say in the box. The other, what breeds of dogs have health problems? I mean, off the top of my head, I really have a problem with brachycephalic breeds, the breeds that have the smashed in faces.
They can barely breathe, yeah, right?
The pugs, the Boston Terriers, the French Bulldogs, the English Bulldogs, all those smashed faced dogs because they can't breathe. They have a bunch of health problems. And, you know, the owners of those dogs aren't the ones suffering. It's the dog that suffers. And people think that it's cute when the dog is snorting and snoring, but imagine if that was you having to breathe like that all day, every day. It would be awful, and you wouldn't do that to a human, but you would do it to a dog. You're going to breed them to have all these problems. And I've heard so many analogies, and I'm with it, like, shouldn't breed. I'm breed banning. I'm agreeing with only certain breeds like those. And Frenchies are cute. I get it. They're fucking cute, but so are all the other dogs. There's a bunch of cute dogs that can breathe. So get those dogs. What else? How do you make a dog stop peeing in the house? Crate training. Crate training is the gold standard for house training. But it is not easy to train the pet to use the crate, but it is doable. Start crate training at a young age. There's tons of tutorials on YouTube of crate training. It is the gold standard for a reason. It works, but you have to use it properly. Crate training is not to be meant as a punishment. It's to be meant as an alternative to yelling at your animal or hitting your animal or getting angry with your animal. It's just a way to control them. And that's it. Give them opportunities to make the right decisions and the right behaviors. You know, when you limit what they can't do wrong, you increase the likelihood that they're going to do what's right. And just, you can't watch your dog all day. You can't watch them 24/7. Put them in the crate when you can't watch them. It decreases the likelihood something bad's going to happen. All right, what else? Can dog doo-doo spread disease? Yeah, it can spread a lot of parasites, coccidia, giardia, parvo, all these things that can make other animals sick. Yes, pick up your dog's poop. It can spread disease. To people, the most things I would worry about with people is different kind of parasites. Again, tapeworm, roundworm, coccidia, giardia, the same ones. The same ones that you can get, the dog diarrhea will give people sick too. Best way to get rid of fleas, I already talked about that. And then my friend Shenley Seabrook, shout out to Shenley, one of my oldest friends, one of my brothers and sister's best friends. And I was best friends with her brother, Nick. Shout out to Nick. I think he just got married. Congratulations. Our six-year-old lab, Visla Mix, has a problem with obsessive licking. He licks his paws, which we assume is allergy-related, but also the carpet, floor, bedding, people, and just about any other surface. He just licks, licks, licks. Basically, anytime he's lying down, he's licking something. It's not only obnoxious, but we are constantly washing bedding because it's so gross. I mean, that just sounds like obsessive compulsive. A lot of dogs have obsessive compulsive licking. I mean, a lot of natural dog behavior is licking, barking, digging, those things that are annoying to us, you know, annoying to us people, that they're barking or they're digging or they're licking consistently or constantly. That's natural behavior for a dog, so it's really hard to get them to stop. It's very gratifying for the dogs to do that. To lick themselves or to lick other things is gratifying, so it's hard to get them to stop. It's like somebody who's addicted to smoking cigarettes or eating fast food. It's always available, and you can't stop it all the time, and the more they do it, the more they want to do it, the more it's encouraging the behavior. So really, I would say your options are really a cone. Maybe if you keep a cone on him long enough, the e-collar, the Elizabethan collar, long enough, maybe it would break him of the habit. You can also try the anti-anxiety or anti, you know, neurological disorder medications they have for dogs. Like, I know they have Xanax. I know they have Prozac. I know they have, what else for dogs? Like, there's another, like, benzodiazepine that they give to dogs. I can't remember what it is. And to cats. But those kinds of things could help with those obsessive compulsive types things. And just assuming that it's not all itchiness, it might be itchiness, it might not be, because he's licking carpets and floors and bedding and shit too. So it can't all just be the itchiness. So I would look into that. Maybe you want to hypnotize your dog. I don't know. That was a joke. Was it funny?
Yeah, I honestly thought like, you know, that could work.
Maybe nicotine gum or something, you know, a patch. Try something like that. That's it. So that's my other segment, questions from the internet. Thank you guys all for posting questions. It is really nice to actually be able to help people that listen to the podcast. And before we wrap it up, the last part of the podcast, the last segment, and we kind of already touched on it. How do you feel about eating animals? Do you think that it's morally wrong, or do you think it's just we should be more responsible?
I think it's just natural because we're humans, because we ourselves are animals, and even we can't stop the lion from eating the gazelle. So that's just a part of life. But I do think what we do to chickens that never see the light of day and become, you know, processed meat for us, all these cows killed unjustly, let's say, I do think there's a much better way that we can help our other animal brethren not suffer as much.
Yeah, that's how we should look at them. Like, they're alive. They are. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. So I think about that, that they're alive. But we eat plants and all that shit. So, I mean, it's definitely not the same.
No, but plants are alive as well, too. Like, they...
But we should also have respect for them.
Exactly.
Consciousness.
Exactly.
Like, consciously aware that you're eating something that grew from the earth and was given to us, like a gift.
So, in that aspect, I really respect the Native Americans praying to their... Giving thanks, let's say.
To the Mother Earth and all that?
To the Mother Earth and then the actual animal that...
Oh, to the animal itself, like a ceremony.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that, too. It should be more ceremonial, like, when we eat animals, especially if you killed it, sure. But even if you didn't, like, not just like say grace or whatever, there should be some like homage paid to the animal that died for you to live. And I believe in that, and I think we're going towards a society more like that. And that's kind of the end of this podcast. If it was made illegal to eat animals, would you stop eating animals, or would you do it anyway?
I would do it anyways, but I wouldn't make, you know, weed was illegal for so long.
That's true.
You
know, people did that shit anyway.
Yeah, but the majority of it would be like, because it'd be illegal, it'd be harder to get our hands on it.
It would be more of a luxury.
It'd be more of a luxury, yeah. And not even that. It would be more of something we wouldn't take to excess.
And I think we wouldn't, yeah, we would appreciate it more.
Appreciate it much
like,
more.
Oh my God, you got a fucking pork chop, dude. Come on.
Like, wow, that's so cool.
That's
you
so
know?
Cool. I remember back in the day, we all had fucking pork chops.
But then again, with the black market also comes like weed with pesticides on it.
And sure. And then there's going to be like crime. It'd be like prohibition. People fucking getting murdered over steaks and shit.
Exactly, you know. So
people dying over fucking hot dogs. I'd fucking kill you. You try to take my hot dog, I'd fucking kill you. My chorizo, I will murder you. Touching my chorizo.
My longaniza, which is chorizo and how they say chorizo in Mexico.
Yeah. I see on the packaging. Yeah. That means like what though? What does that mean?
It means chorizo.
It means chorizo.
Literally,
it means sausage.
I was at a taqueria. Shout out Tacos Los Sueros in Mexico City. I was like, let me get like two suaderos, which was called something else. But then I was like, let me get two chorizos too. Everybody at the table looked at me like, what do
what
you
the
mean?
Fuck is
like,
that?
What do you mean? And my mom was like, se dice longaniza.
Longaniza.
Yeah.
Longaniza. I've seen it on the package. Like, I don't know. I always wondered what it meant.
So right there, so tacos de longaniza, that's cool. Let me get some tacos de chorizo.
Good to know. When I go to Mexico and I try to order food from the taco trucks, they always like give me dirty looks because my Spanish sucks. I feel so embarrassed. It's like, those are the guys that always make me feel the most embarrassed.
Oh, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them, but whatever. They're just kidding, you know? They're just having fun. Making fun of somebody. Bullies, but I still bought the tacos.
Hell
they're
yeah.
They're fucking
hell
fire. Yeah. Is it still like 50 cents on the corner like it was when I was 17, the last time I went to Mexico?
50 cents right now would be, damn near 11 pesos. So yeah, it's like
about that?
12 pesos. Yeah, but the thing is, you also got to consider the tortillas much smaller
sure,
than the ones here.
Still though.
But it's still, 12 pesos.
Yeah, it was like that. And I would just eat like four or five of them. Like,
oh yeah. They're
just, fire.
Delicious. I fucked up nine of them. They were
fuck
so
yeah,
good.
Dude.
They were so good. They're so
man,
good.
Man, I want to talk about food in Mexico real quick. Did you ever have the little red enchiladas like that are like dipped in red sauce and you eat them with your hands? You ever had like this?
Oh no, I have not.
It's like they're enchiladas, they're almost like flautas. Uh-huh. But they're like drained and they're like in red sauce, so they're red and like you just there's little, they're like finger food. You never had this?
No, I've never had that, but I did have
good.
Chile rellenos, but instead of using the poblano chile, the bigger chile, my aunt used a jalapeno chile.
No shit.
And she's, oh my God, it was like a finger food. It was like chile
jalapeno
rellenos.
Popper?
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah, basically. Yeah. It was
dude,
delicious.
I'm so hungry right now. I can't wait to eat. So we're going to wrap up because there's food here and I'm starving. Any social media you want to plug?
Follow me at Roger Lopez Comic. You can follow my record label, Roger That Records. And then you can follow my podcast at Roger That Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
And we're going to put all that in the description so you guys can find it. Excuse me. Here comes a burp at the worst time ever.
I've been burping throughout. My apologies.
Excuse me. Okay. So you can find the Pet Peeves Podcast on Instagram at Pet Peeves Podcast, on Twitter at Pet Peeves Pod. You can find me, Albert Escobedo, on Instagram at Albert Escobedo, or on Twitter at Albert M. Escobedo. You can find my comedy special, my 1 hour long comedy special, free to watch on YouTube. It's called Don't Judge Me. And that's it. I have a comedy show this Sunday, but you guys won't fucking be there because this episode will come out way after. But follow the Instagram, follow that, follow the Goon Squad. We love you guys. Love your pets. Love yourselves. Happy COVID.
Peace and love. See you guys.
Hey everybody, this is Albert Escobedo, your host for the Pet Peeves Podcast. Just asking, if you like my podcast, if you're enjoying the content and what you're listening to, become a sponsor. Find the link on the Anchor, the sponsor link on my Anchor website, and or on the SoundCloud website. Wherever you find the descriptions for these episodes, you can find the link to become a sponsor. For $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, help the podcast grow. Thank you guys very much. Thank you for listening. Bye.